Greetings to everyone. I want you to remember one thing. God has chosen you to be blessed and to know the fullness of His power and the love of His Spirit as He's working in you and through you. And this is, Anton, the greatest season
of our lives.
Welcome, Anton.
Thank you, Pastor.
You're a dear friend of mine for years. Anton owns his own security business. You've owned for years. You watched God do all kinds of wonders. You've known the I guess people would say the ups and the downs and the levels and where and what. And you've been a dear friend of the mine and the families, my family, for a long time. You walked with us through a lot of changes and transformations, all kinds of things for years. You've been a great help. This man stands beside me and helps me in just about anything that we need done. You're always first to be there. Your heart, your attitude, your servitude, your humility before the Lord is just really touching, moving, and my family, PFC, and myself, we appreciate you and thank you for your heart, your faithfulness, and all that God's doing in your life. We're excited about it. And one of the things I know we were talking about, because you actually drove me here today, was just the importance of just some of the things that we live deal with on a day-to-day basis. And one of the main points is, what is it that we look for? And I believe we could call this the theme or the title of this, Christ in You, and the importance of that. So here we are, we're going through life, we're believing God, we're praying for things, and certain things just seem to be really, really slow in coming, or maybe it looks like they're not happening at all. What have you learned? How do you deal with that stuff? Does that ever happen to you? Has that ever happened?
All the time. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me this opportunity to do a podcast. And it's always exciting. It's such an exciting time when we get to sit and talk about what's the most important thing in our life. And that's faith and Jesus Christ that lives in us, which is the hope of glory. I thank you for speaking into my life for decades now. And I remember the first time I've met you, you shook my hand, you said, you live and not die, and here I am. And I'm alive, and Christ is alive in me.
Yeah.
And it is probably the most important thing. It's a mystery. It is it's truly a mystery. Christ in us is the hope of glory. And like you mentioned before, we're here, and we're always challenged. And we say good days and maybe challenging days. And we talked about it on the way here. Christ, the fullness of the Father was in Christ, and yet He was challenged in His flesh. So it's okay. It's okay. It's part of growing. It's part of being transformed, not being conformed, right? Being transformed.
Yes.
And just like Jeremiah went to the potter's house and you saw the vessel being broken down, and then that vessel was taken back up again. So we just stop and we look at something that God is doing in the middle, but we don't follow through all the way. The word says, do not give up. Continue knowing to do good, do good. And if you don't give up, you see the finished product. You see don't give up. You see the glory of God in you. So if you just stop at a certain point and you don't continue on, just like you said, the bridge, right? You have to go to the bridge. There's a point when you get to the middle of the bridge, maybe too late to go back, but you have to move forward and you have to overcome that fear of moving forward. And that fear is our chemistries, our flesh. What's going to happen to me? But if we just value our life on, well, I can't wait to do this, or I can't wait for this to end. I can't wait for this season to end, or I can't wait to get to that top of that hill, or whatever it is that we face, we mature and we grow. But then if you spread it all out as years go by, and you look at the challenging times that you've had, you think and you maybe consider, maybe I shouldn't have been so upset. Look at me now, or look what God has done. Maybe I shouldn't have been so upset of that vessel being taken down, but look what God has made. If I took that time and I was more focused on Christ in me than on my flesh and my needs, and woe me, and why did they do this to me? Why didn't they respond to me? Why wasn't this accomplished? What happened here? What happened there? What am I going to do now? If we just got off of ourselves, got off of the flesh that's inside, the fearful, the angry, the bitter, the I don't understand, I can't figure it out. we just got off of that and say, you know what? There's something more important. There's a mystery in me, my faith, my faith in Christ, the hope of glory. If we're going to hope for glory, if we're going to hope for can't wait till this happen or can't wait till this end, why don't we just hope in the mystery of Christ in us? The hope of glory. If we just level out there, then whatever happens, happens. But the foundation of our faith and our hope, our true hope, not getting in or getting out or getting through or hoping for this. Because the word says hope deferred makes the heart sick. And there's the opposite of that, right? There's when it does happen, it's exciting, but hope is not deferred when Christ in us.
Yeah.
There's no waiting. It's here, it's now. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So you seek that kingdom. You see Christ in you every day. And you focus, if you focus yourself and get yourself, your eyes off of yourself and everything that you want to do and how does the gospel benefit me? I'm going to believe in the gospel. And
that's
a
good one right there.
I'm going to serve Christ and I'm going to go to church. I'm going to be good. But how does that translate into dollars? How does it translate into relationships? How does it convert to being blessed and highly favored? How does it translate into good life? And I mean, yeah, we'll go to heaven, but what about now? How do I reap the benefit of that now? Then you're going to go to a lot of ups and downs. You're going to go through a lot of maturing, through a lot of hope deferred makes the heart sick. You're going to go through a lot of that. But if you pull back a bit and you say, I have everything, Christ in me, the hope of glory. My glory is Him in me. That is a mystery. I can't explain it every single day. I can't explain to you what that means today, but I'm going to seek it out. And by the end of the day, I'm going to be at peace and say, He's in me. And my hope that His glory resides in me. Mm-hmm. And we continue on with that because there's so many formulas, but only one true formula, Christ in us. It is a mystery. Just like the kingdom, show us the kingdom. It's like this, it's like that, it's like this, it's like that. You figure it out. It's in you.
Yeah, that, you know, it's knowing the closeness or the depth of the Spirit of God within us. God doesn't want us to live separate from Him, you know, like across the table from God. He doesn't want to be across the table from us.
Yes.
He wants to dine within us. He wants to be the joy within us. He wants to be the peace within us because we have to go back to the foundation. God created us in His likeness and in His image. And what fills you is what starts you. What fuels you is what starts you. What fills you and feeds you is what starts you. What satisfies you is what starts you. And that's life. And, you know, I think oftentimes the misinterpretation to what we need is we draw out these plans that we think this is life. You know, if I make a lot of money, if my business becomes great, or I become popular or famous, or people just know, you know, that I've done this and I feel like I've accomplished, and we consider that as life. Paul said it like this. He said, I count everything regarding myself, I count it as waste. Mm. He said that I might gain Christ. Because Christ in us is the fullness. In us is the fullness of all things. The scriptures, Paul's teaching, and he says, I want to remind you. He said, do you not know this about yourself, that Christ is in you? And I'm reminding you, I mean, you if Christ is in you, the one that created all things for His purpose and His pleasure, which you are one of those things God created, if he is that one, and He is, and you're full with Him, you're not missing anything. But if you're having all your needs met, like God's checking, you know, checking off, well, I did this for Him, I did that for Him, I did that, then that's not the will of God in our lives. That's our will. I've said this many times. I said it a long time ago, and it just ministers to me. And the question I had to ask myself is, you know, maybe at a moment where you feel discouraged, this isn't happening, that isn't happening, or God, I was believing, I really believed you for this. Listen to what you're saying, I believed you for this. How can God show up in something so small as a need?
Right.
That's why He said, I will show you exceeding abundant, I'll meet your needs, but I don't want you to know me as just the God that meets your needs. And right. you think that's, look at God, he's taking care of me. God wants to do more than to be your assist, to be right. your co-pilot. You know, he's not the co-pilot. He's God. He's the leader. He's the pilot. He's the vessel. He's the plane. And it's in that understanding, that reckoning, that ability to discern what life is really all about. And that life is about the source of life, Christ on the inside of me. And these things that we need, God allows them to be offerings to him. And we can take something as in comparison to who we really are in Christ. Christ in us. What is that? God's revelation of glory, his glory revealed in you. That's why Paul said, don't you know this about yourselves? That he made you, and that he dwells in you, that Christ, Jesus Christ, is in you. And it, and the whole theme here is how can you enjoy life? How can you go any further? How can you not rebuke the good? And that's what we end up doing. We rebuke the greater for the lesser. You know, it's like, here's a crumb. God, if you'll just blow that crumb my way across the riverbed and get it to me so I can eat it. And God's saying, if you'll turn around, there's a whole wheat field there. You can make all the loaves of bread you want, but you're going to have to look in my direction and forget what you don't have so I can show you what you do have. And that's the fullness of who Christ in us is. And all these things that appear to be too little, too much, it's just too much, I can handle it, or too far away. What God does with all these things is he's saying, listen, take that and surrender it to me in this sense. God, you know what I have need of, and you already said that, but I don't know that I know what I have need of. You reveal that to me. Show me your heart, because I'm your likeness and I'm your image, created for your purpose and your pleasure. If I can bring pleasure to you, if I can please you, how pleased am I going to be? How happy, how fulfilled, how satisfied am I going to be? And that's the strength that you're talking about. What I hear you saying is, you came to the point, you said, Christ in me. And this was it when I at certain challenges in my life, you had to ask yourself the question, am I asking for God's will in my life, or am I asking for God's approval on my will?
Right.
And there's a world of difference. God's approval on our will, and God does. How many times have God met anyone's needs? He met you at that point. It seemed like I refer to it as the Rubicon, that river portion where you're too far gone to turn back and go now. So just go on ahead. But you said something. You said, I'm hearing you say, I just wish I had done it with more joy. I wish I had done it with more confidence, and just enjoyed that ride. Steve, my guest prior, he said, man, you know, learning what I learned from the past, if I could enter that day today, he wasn't talking about strength or power or endurance. He was talking about understanding. If we could just understand what you're saying, Christ in us, that's the treasure, man. Yes. It's not just a religious term or religious terminology or, you know, a good basis for preaching a message. It's the essence of life, because we live from all the things that make us alive, that move, motivate, incentivize us, all invisible. Our dreams, our love, our passions, our thoughts. And God says, take those elements that make you who you are, make you do what you do, and bring them as an offering, a surrender to me, and let me amplify them beyond a need. Let me show you who I am in the midst of this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let me show you who I am. I've already shown you who I am on the outside of the furnace. I've already shown you who I am in the king's favor. Now let me show you who I am in the king's anger. Let me show you who I am in the furnace of affliction. Let me show you who I am there, and watch and see who God is. What did it do? Come on, you're walking in the fire, and you're not being burned, and God shows up in the fire. What were they feeling and thinking? It had to be like, oh man, look at this, God's in here with us. But not only that, but when they came out, the king says, they serve the true and only God. That's our reputation. God doesn't want to eat with us across the table. He wants to eat with us. He said, Take me, eat me as the bread of life. Drink me as living water. And it's God wanting to be so close, personal, and powerful in us.
Yes, and they couldn't even say Christ in us.
No, there you go. What's our advantage?
Yes, they couldn't say that. Mm. How much more? How much more should we believe when he says, Father, the authority you've given me, I've given them. They're my body. It's the time to believe like no one else. And whatever happens, Christ in you. That is the hope of glory. Live or die and then live again or not die. Because Jesus said, you taste this water, you'll never die. Or you'll never thirst. Yeah. It was always more beyond the physical, chemical need of us. It was always beyond the chemistry of what we needed or what we wanted. It was always beyond that. It was about transformation of the heart, transformation of the spirit and the mind, able to discern like you've preached on Sunday and make righteous decisions, because our decisions are made based on fear, based on anxiety, based on anger,
necessity.
All those chemical reactions make us make a decision, not having enough.
Yeah. And the question is, how much is enough?
Yes. And how much, and you always live that day. You always live, you know, how many, we've talked about it in the car, how many good days, how many bad days are programming into our life. And how do we turn that scale? How do we get to these happy days instead of these sad days? And what determines the sad from the happy? Yeah. What determines the, I'm excited from, I don't know what to do. I don't know what's happening. Is God with me?
Yeah.
And this is a challenging time. What made it challenging? And what made it happy? And how do you discern one from another? And what drives your chemistry? Can your chemistry be changed? Can your chemistry be at certain point this and a certain point that? God says it can. He says in a blink of an eye, your mortal bodies become immortal.
Yeah.
A chemistry just changed just like that.
Yeah.
Why? How? Christ in us.
Christ in us, hope and glory. You know, and two, so many of the battles that we fight, and the Word talks about this, when does war and fighting come into your life? When does it become a part? And I'm not saying everyone's battles come because of what I'm about to say. A lot of times God is calling us, but how many times do we rebuke God because we don't like what it looks and feels like?
Right.
But when do these things come? The Word says, don't wars come because
of your own
desires that are warring in you. Warring, what does that mean? I don't have enough. God, if you would do this, we fight our desires. They become our greatest enemy and we don't know it. That's why the Word teaches us to pray, not my will. Why? Well, your will can be it can be months or years of battling and fighting. But he said, if you'll seek the kingdom, if you'll seek my will, like Solomon did, Solomon did. He said, give me wisdom as a king. I'm just a young boy. I don't have any experience in being a king.
Yeah.
My dad was a king, but I'm a young boy. I've never done this. Give me wisdom. He could ask for a lot of things. God, make it easier. Number one, if we get rid of my enemies, you know, and just make me, you know, just make me someone to be feared. I mean, that's a good start, it would seem like.
Whatever makes sense.
Yeah, and if I could just live long, make sure my enemies don't kill me, and if I could just have, like, you know, everything that I need to make me look good so they're afraid of me. He didn't. He said, God, I want wisdom to lead your people. He recognized the people as the people of God. Recognize your existence as the body of Christ, the life of Christ within us. And like you said, I mean, today we have the new covenant. How much of an advantage do we not receive or accept or believe in that puts us at such a disadvantage? And how much more advantaged are we if we say all things are possible, and I mean that, but what I want may not reveal the impossible that God wants me to do. It may not show me the person, the purpose that I am, because my needs are too substandard. They're too beneath who I am called to be. Are you going to let your needs dictate whether or not God's in your life? Are you gonna allow what you don't have, or what you feel you're not capable of? You're not smart enough. You're not fast enough. You're not whatever enough. You know, you weren't born in the right family. You just Christ in us is all that advantage, because it's not us having our needs met and then saying, oh, look and see, God met our needs. God took the children of Israel out into a place where they experienced, he led them into a place of a need.
Exactly.
Not for the need's sake, but just saying, I want to show you things that I've never done. Yes. No one's ever seen or heard of before. God's saying that to us if we would just have the faith to have the courage to just say, Christ in me is my hope of God being glorified and revealed in me. I know who I am, as Paul said. I know that Christ Jesus dwells in me. And today, he's going to show me, we talked about this a while back, he's going to show me the spirit of the thing.
Yeah.
He's going to reveal the essence of what this moment means, because everything means something of purpose and value if you look at it through the lens of faith
yeah.
and a right heart and an attitude. I think of David's prayer, create in me a clean heart. Oh God, renew a right spirit in me. And that's what you're talking about today.
Yes.
And that, what does that do? It creates a different kind of spirit.
Yes.
Different kind of attitude in you.
Peace. Because the word says your flesh wars against your soul. But if there's peace, if Christ in you, what flesh?
What war?
What war?
Yeah.
And your soul prospers. You know, in the spirit of his mind.
You think different when you're at peace. Same scenario, same, you know, we can look in the same mirror and we're going to get different reflections. Same mirror, same time, same place, and get different reflections. I mean, what reflection does God want to bring out of your peace?
Yeah.
Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. John 14:27, when I was a young man, John 14:27 was such a foundational, became such a fundamental, such a powerful staple to me, John 14:27. And I read it and learned it in the King James, so that's how I remember it. Peace I leave with you, Jesus said. My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And that peace I leave with you, as a young boy, where you figure, you know, I'm a young man, what do you have to worry about? But that awareness that something is not in its fullness. Paul's teaching you here, and he's saying, I want you, he said, reckon yourself, listen, think about yourself as being mature in Christ. Not so much grow, you know, little by little, like this long process to where you never know where you are in the process, because there's no real gauge. But Paul is saying, consider yourself. He said, I'm preaching to you because I want you to think about yourself as mature.
Righteousness.
In Christ.
Yes.
Righteousness. Rightly wise. Like Solomon, give me wisdom to lead so great a people. God said, I'll give you what you ask for. But because you sought the mind of God, the kingdom of God, everything else will come. You'll have it all.
Yeah.
You'll have it all. And God gave it to him. And he was at peace. He said, I have no adversary nor evil occurrent, which was a prophetic word to his father David. And David told Solomon, this is what God said to me, and this is who you are. Solomon believed it, and he walked in it. Yeah. Believe what God has said about you. I've given you peace. I am your peace. My peace is with you. My peace I give to you. It's a gift. You don't have to fight for it. You know, the effort, sometimes the harshness of labor becomes the hardness of your life, the harshness of your life, the fatigue in your life, where resting in Christ is a renewing of your spirit and your mind. And you just think better when you're not so tired.
Yes.
You know, you think better when you set your mind on the things, and you don't feel rushed. Relax and rest in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. I have a funny story, and this happened to me not too recently. Not too long ago. We were going on a little trip. And my windshield washer in my car was low on windshield washer fluid. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm driving, and a lot of bugs are going to hit my windshield on this trip. So I need to make sure I have plenty of windshield washing fluid in the reservoir. But we're in a hurry because we're running late. So we stop, we get gas, running and get the windshield washing fluid. Actually, my daughters grabbed it for me while I was getting gas and came out, had the hood up, ready to go. I take it and I dump it all in the, you know, in the reservoir.
Yeah.
And then I, you know, we get the car and we drive on our trip. And we get home the next day. I'm driving and I turn on the windshield. And I'm wondering why the windshield washer still says low fluid.
Oh, no. Wrong reservoir.
Wrong reservoir. I got in such a hurry, I dumped it in the radiator reservoir. And I'm wondering why. But as I'm driving, I remember, okay, I'm knowing what I'm doing at the time because I'm tracing the hose and I'm going, okay, this, because I've never filled it up. It's a little bit of an, I've had a couple of years, first time I think I've had to fill it up with washing fluid, probably because they do it when they change the oil. But so I'm making sure, okay, I'm knowing where the hose is going. I'm going, okay, this is the right hose because it's going right to the radiator. Just want to make sure I'm not putting it, you know, in one of the reservoirs I'm not supposed to, but I'm knowing what I'm doing, but because I'm so raced, I'm so pressed.
For time, yeah.
Even though I know what I'm doing, I don't know what I'm doing. I put it in the wrong reservoir. I put it in the radiator reservoir and instead of the windshield washer. But when I'm relaxed and I'm driving the next day and I hit the washer, it runs for a minute, a little water comes out on the windshield and it just goes dry. And I went, hi. And then I remembered that was the radiator reservoir. It wasn't the windshield. Yeah. Because pressure make, even though we're looking at it, we're just thinking too hard about the wrong thing. And what my mind was is hurry up, get done, get
Don't
out
be
of
late.
Here.
Yes. Yeah.
Enjoy the trip.
Yeah.
You're going to end up where you need to go on time. Don't let your age, don't let what you couldn't do, don't let anything dictate to you that it's too late.
Right.
You're on time. You're on point, and you're on purpose.
Yes.
That's why Jesus said, don't say tomorrow, say today.
Today.
This is the day God has
made. Today. Today is sufficient.
Today is sufficient.
Yes. Yes. What a great story, Pastor.
Yeah.
Thank
what,
you.
What analogies we find, and then it just connects to everything. It's just like in everything God says, remember.
Yeah.
What a great day. Anton,
yes.
thank you so much, Pastor, for joining me today, and thank you for sharing what's on your heart and just the value of and how that reflection of Christ in you, the hope of glory, comes out of you. I'm looking at that reflection in you, and that ministers to me, and I'm sure that it's ministered to many of you out there that are watching. I want you to keep one thing in mind. Don't let what hasn't happened dictate what's going to happen. Don't let what looked like the wrong day, the worst day, the bad day tell you what today is. God has given you the authority to name the day, just like he gave Adam the authority to name the animals. And that's the heart of God speaking through you. God is with you presently today. Lo, we said, everyone, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Don't fear, for God is with you. And this really is a greatest season of your life. Take hold, apprehend the opportunity of this day and walk in the fullness of its power and its wisdom. And Father, we give you praise for your word today.
Lord,
God, I pray that
Jesus.
It penetrates the hearts of your people,
you,
making
Lord.
Itself as it is, alive in them, quicken them by your word and by your spirit, and be glorified right now in everyone's life according as you will them to see, know, and understand. So we're eating, Father, the bread of life and drinking that living water that you are, Christ in us, the hope of glory. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and thank you, Father. Thank you, Anton.
Thank you, Pastor.
What a joy today.
It's an
Have
honor.
A great one. Until next time.
Until next
God
time.
Bless
thank
everyone.
You.